Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hi, everybody. I'm Trish Laub, and I'm filling in for Dr. Pat today. I have my own show on this network called A Cup of Comfort. It's all about care heroes, those people who provide care for another who cannot fully care for themselves. While I'm not going to be talking specifically about care heroes today, I'm curious. Did any of you find yourself unexpectedly in the role of a care hero this year as a result of COVID? Or did your role as a care hero intensify as the result of the pandemic? The care paradigm has changed during the pandemic and will never go back to what it was, making many more of you care heroes than ever before. Anyway, on A Cup of Comfort, we talk about all topics related to providing care, and no topic is off limits. So check out the Care Hero Radio page of my website, trishlaub.com. That's Trish, T-R-I-S-H, Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy.com after the show. So you may be thinking that you aren't a care hero, and maybe you're asking yourself why you should care about armor or resilience. Am I right? Well, I ask you to stay with me because what my guest has to share today really is for everyone. We've all had our backs up against the wall at some point in our life for one reason or another, haven't we? Can you think of a time that was true for you? A time maybe when you really were really challenged and perhaps felt a little trapped. I know that I have many times in my life. So grab a cup of whatever you want to drink and sit back and relax. This will be invaluable. I want to start by reading the foreword of Chasing Life, a book written by my guest and due out this summer. Dr. Suzanne Rose wrote the foreword and said this, "Chasing life. I have been thinking a lot about the word chasing. It is one of my toddler granddaughter's favorite words as she runs around acting like she hopes that someone will catch up to her, but truly wishing she will outsmart whoever is behind her and stay in the lead." You're about to read a love story, a story of triumph, a story of drive, passion, compassion, and about a courageous fight in the face of adversity. I came to know Dr. Desiree Pardee as someone who was always chasing her dream. She did not just pursue the dream in order to catch up. She caught up with her dream, outsmarted that dream, and pursued another and another and another. Chasing Life is the perfect title for this labor of love, a portrait of an incredible young woman pursuing her passion, surpassing every expectation, and then moving forward again until she could go no further because of a devastating and aggressive disease. But anyone who met Desiree casually would never have known any of that. Her cheerful countenance, her enthusiasm, her bright smile never betrayed the battle she was fighting, or her drive to satisfy her curiosity, create her scientific knowledge, or take exceptional care of her patients. Now that was part of the foreword to a memoir that details the story of a truly extraordinary woman, Dr. Desiree Pardee. But equally extraordinary is the man behind the book, her husband Robert, who Dr. Rose described as Desiree's spirited and devoted husband. Robert has not only lived, but also embodies what I believe about providing care for another. After communicating with him and listening to his interviews and podcasts, I quickly realized that we are aligned not only in our care philosophy, but also in our life philosophies. And Robert truly has blended both. That's why what he has to say today really applies to everyone. Now, before I introduce my guest, I want to let everyone know that some of the information from today's show will be available in a downloadable PDF on the Care Hero Radio page of my website, trishlaub.com, after the show. So born in New York City, Robert worked at a wealth fund in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, has lived in Rome, and now lives in a small Italian village in the National Park of Abruzzo. After caring for his wife during a life-limiting illness in 2014, Robert decided to leave his comfort zone working in finance to pursue what he deemed to be a more purposeful path. Throwing caution to the wind, he pursued a childhood dream to live in Italy and followed a passion born while caring for his wife to become a life coach. He now lives in the same Italian village that his great-grandfather immigrated from over 100 years ago and is a certified life coach. He is one of those rare individuals who embraces change and lives by a philosophy which he calls possibility in action, taking his desire for transformation and putting it into action every day. I am so happy to welcome Rob. And it is exciting to finally meet you face to face after communicating virtually for quite a while.
I am thrilled to be here. And I knew your energy would just be over the top. So I'm loving it already.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Well, It's infectious.
If you know my energy, you know I want to jump right in.
Sure.
And ask you if you could spend a few minutes just sharing your care hero journey and how you got to what you do today.
Sure. Well, I actually, the care hero journey, really started when my wife was diagnosed, but the skills that I was able to put in place, I learned growing up in a dysfunctional relationship with an alcoholic father. And that really taught me a lot about resilience. It taught me a lot about grit. And basically what wound up happening is I was offered a job in Abu Dhabi. I wasn't really sure about taking it, but my wife and I, we both loved experience. We both just wanted to live the most unusual life, let's say. And she was like, yeah, let's take it. You should take it. She was doing her PhD. She was studying to do an MD PhD. And she's like, I'm busy anyway, so you go. And they were giving me a lot of vacation. And she said, we'll meet 6 weeks in a different country, every 6 weeks in a different country. Oh, it just sounded wonderful. It really sounded wonderful. The United Arab Emirates was amazing in the late 90s. So I took the job, and after she finished her PhD, before going back to do the MD, she said, let me come and live there for a year. It was a two-year contract. I did 1 year, so she wanted to experience the Middle East as well. When she flew over to get a residency visa, you actually have to go through a medical screening in the Emirates. And that's when they found that she had stage 3 breast cancer, right before her 31st birthday. What wound up happening was the doctor, and it's not because of the Muslim religion, I truly believe it was because there was this bright, vibrant 30-year-old woman that was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was unusual, and he didn't know basically how to interact. So he told me the information. And when I broke the news to my wife, I asked her what she wanted to know. And she said, only the next steps. And basically that led to not me just being a caregiver, but in a way her surrogate, because I had to make all the decisions as if I were dying. She gave me a template. She wanted to be very aggressive, but she didn't want to know the specifics. There came a point in time that she actually asked to know some of the specifics. I didn't share everything because I didn't think it was worthwhile to her. She had known that the cancer had spread to her liver because she needed a liver resection. But at that point in time, it was also in her bones and they saw a spot in her lung. There was no reason to tell her that because it wasn't going to change anything. So over the 11 years, I cared for her and also protected her coping mechanisms. I was the one that stood in front of everything so it didn't touch her and it allowed her to live her life the way she wanted to and die the way she wanted to.
And I will tell the people, everybody listening, I know a lot more about Robert's story, and that's the tip of the iceberg. What he did was actually very, really, really extraordinary, what he did and how his wife and he put together their lives. And so,
yeah, I could definitely go more in depth in that if you want. I know we have so much to cover.
I know.
So.
Well, we're actually here today to talk about removing armor and resilience, but I will mention now, I was going to mention it later. I'll be doing an interview on my show, A Cup of Comfort, with Rob on June 8th, where he can get a little bit more into his actual care story. So, that's a great introduction and the tip of the iceberg. I want to rewind for a second. Thank you for sharing that. I want to rewind for a second. On my April 11th show, I focused on the use of words, and words such as battle and fighter and fight and warrior and armor and things like that. And anyone who's listened to A Cup of Comfort knows that the use of words is really, really important to me. And I know that we're going to be talking about using some of those words. So I'm wondering if a good place to start is just to start talking about that armor. And I think that was probably part of your process while you were providing care.
Sure. In fact, I was my wife's armor. My wife, because she was studying, she was doing an MD PhD, but because she wanted to be a doctor, she knew very early on that she knew enough to be dangerous to herself. And so I became her shield. But what I realized about armor, and it was very interesting, because my wife was in remission for a short period of time. And during that remission, I was elated and she became clinically depressed. And her oncologist actually told her that he was going to stop being her oncologist if she didn't go see a therapist and start antidepressants. When the cancer returned, she felt relieved and I was devastated. Now, she explained to me later on that she couldn't deal with the worry of it coming back because she knew it was highly likely. Even though she didn't know she had 11 to 12 lymph nodes positive, the size of the tumor, she didn't know any of that, but she knew that she was young, it was an aggressive cancer. So I, at that point in time, started to seek out my own armor. And it was because it hit me and I felt unprotected. But what I realized about putting on armor is that it was making me weaker, because the armor became the definition of my strength. My identity of being strong was my armor. And it wasn't until I lived the pain on my own skin that I was able to make impactful decisions. Because when you're wearing armor, I think of it this way, maybe it's because I live in Italy, maybe it's because I like to fantasize, but armor's heavy, right? You have a limited range of motion when you're wearing armor. You have a very thin slit in the helmet that you can see through. And what I learned is trying to protect myself with different coping mechanisms and everything else was the same exact thing. I had to be there naked in the arena to battle, to truly battle. And I know you believe the same thing as I do. I wasn't fighting against. When you're wearing armor, you're ready to fight against something. But a lot of times it's wasted energy because it's out of our control. But when I stripped down and I was in the arena, I realized I was fighting for. Mm-hmm. I was there vulnerable as myself, willing to do what needed to be done. And it was in that moment, I have goose pimples, by the way. It was in that moment that I realized by taking off the armor, I learned what I was capable of. With the armor, I had no idea what I was capable of. And when I got down and got dirty, I was able to help her help us live an amazingly joyful life. I mean, we lived in a state of joy that to this day, it still touches me. I say all the time that I am beautifully scarred for having loved and lost my wife, because it was an amazing journey, regardless that she passed away. And that was because there was no armor. That was because I felt it. And the I don't like to use the word battle, but it's very hard to find the right word. Let's say the battle. The battle became so purposeful. Mm-hmm. I wasn't with my armor trying to necessarily win. You know, winning is such a funny thing, because we're so addicted to be able to win. But if we tie everything to that final outcome, we miss the whole thing in between. And again, that's what taking off the armor let me do, because it is. If you don't feel it on your skin, you're not all in.
So I love the explanation and the description. I'm a visual person, of the armor and the slit and the, you know, that you could see through. So when you were in the arena wearing the armor, if I understood you correctly, you were fighting against something. And what was that something?
Actually, I was fighting against the uncontrollable.
Okay.
I was fighting against wanting to fix my wife. I think the most difficult thing as a caregiver, but I want the people that are listening, it's a caregiver, everything is heightened when you're a caregiver. But in life, battling against the uncontrollable, that's what I mean, because I couldn't fix her. It wasn't my job to fix her, but it was my job to help her through her life's journey. And I needed to take off the armor to do that. I needed to take off the armor so I could give all of myself, not the shield.
And when the armor came off, so with the armor on, you were fighting against something. When the armor came off, what did it become? You were fighting for something or working for something?
No, it was that, yes, I would say fighting for something, but even more, I was giving purposefully to the person I loved.
It's a switch of focus.
It's a 100% switch of focus, and it's an act of surrender. It is looking to make the best of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wasting, because I'm a big believer in, maybe it comes from my economics background, but you know, looking at how you spend things, and we spend our time, we spend our energy, we actually do. It's a commodity that's non-renewable. And so the moment I took off the armor to understand the complexity of the arena, and not just what I was seeing through the slit, that it allowed me to, more than anything else, focus on the ordinary moments. Which I think is instrumental in life. It's not just because of a caregiver, but it sounds so corny. And I know some people that are listening to this, I understand, because I was one of those people a long time ago with this idea of, oh, our life takes place in the moments, but it actually does. It actually does. We think we fear the future. We're wasting our energy because we have no idea. We ruminate over the past, and I wish things were different. We can't do anything about it. How much time is left to enjoy the moment?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they pointed out to me that when we think about our friends or our family or our best memories, it's in moments. It's in 3-4 moments,
yeah,
of time, and we lose the focus on that. Definitely.
Yeah.
So you said a word, you've said the word already,
yes,
that I would like you to talk about, surrender.
Sure.
Sure. That word. So when I did this episode on April 11th, I talked about connotation and denotation of words. And so the literal meaning of the word surrender, but the feeling that we get from that word. And I've heard you talk about this before, so I'm asking you to share that with people who are listening today, because it's a great explanation.
Sure. We all think of surrender as giving up. It just has that connotation. We think of it as weakness. I learned it is the complete opposite. It is empowerment. It is being brave. Basically what surrender allows you to do is to focus on what you have, focus on what's under your control. Because there's so much that's uncontrollable, unnecessary in life. And so surrender liberates you to live life. I know you've probably read the quote that I say, you know, surrender is taking a breath of fresh air when you're hiking up a mountain. If I really attribute it to, let's say, the caregiving role, or what's happening with the pandemic right now, let's forget just the pandemic in general, everybody's life. We've been asked in a way to run a marathon we never wanted to run. And if you're holding your breath during that marathon, it is torture. If you surrender and you take the breath during the marathon, you're able to run the marathon. And that's what surrender is, because surrender, we carry so much with us. We are attached, we have fears, we have expectations. All of that goes away when you surrender and you're open up to opportunities. If you're sitting there holding on to something so tightly, just, I don't know, or if we're video, but okay, I think we're just radio, but I'm holding my
fist.
We're both. We're both. Okay. I'm holding my fist very tightly, right?
Yes.
How can I open my hands to grab an opportunity? Am I ready? No. Now I'm ready. And that's surrender. It took me time to get there.
Absolutely.
But this philosophy, this understanding of surrender happened when my wife's cancer did recur, because it went from, oh yeah, we can get through this, to, in an instant.
You went from the sprint to the marathon.
Thank you. Yeah, I went from the sprint to the marathon.
The sprint can be won. The marathon's just ongoing.
Ongoing, yes. Yes. And that's why it's so important to take that breath, to focus on doing your best.
Yes. Yes. I think this might be a great time to take a quick break. When we come back, I would like Rob to continue with this. I believe that we have, for the people watching the video, a graphic that has an archer on it. And I heard what you had to say about the bow and arrow on the archer in regard to surrender. So
okay.
I think that'd be a great time, and we'll come back in just a minute.
When you lose a child, you find yourself part of a club that you never chose to join. There is a way to find meaning and joy in your life again. Jen Ripa has created a 6-week sacred grief system, helping you let go of grief, heal with compassion, and understand what's available to you in the rest of your life. It can feel scary acknowledging that a part of you wants to move forward because you're not sure how to do it in a way that honors your child. The good news is that when you allow yourself to address your grief in a multisensory way, you can transition from sadness, regret, and hopelessness into a life that gives you peace, joy, and meaning. Jennifer understands with deep compassion how you're feeling because she's been there. For more information about the Sacred Grief Course, visit thriveology.com. That's thriveology.com.
Caring for someone with a life-altering diagnosis?
You are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune in to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Laub, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit trishlaub.com. That's Trish Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, milestogocoaching.com.
Are you ready to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy L. In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you to help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life's journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way. Plus, you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activations, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Trish Laub and I'm guest hosting today. Before the break, my guest, Rob Party, we were talking about the concept of taking off your armor, whether that's due to caregiving or some other situation in your life, and the word surrender and the action surrender. So I'm just going to let you pick up with that. I did mention, though, that in regard to surrender, I had heard you speak somewhere else about the image of an archer. And I thought, sure, that was a great visual and representation of that word surrender and how it applies.
Well, As we were talking about, surrender is complex because it touches on so many different things. We have, like we said earlier, we've attributed to giving up, and it's everything but giving up. And what surrender allows you to do is it allows you to look at yourself and value your strengths, value what you could build, and say that other stuff, okay, I need to give that away. I need to put that somewhere else. And that's the idea of the archer. And it actually, it comes from ancient times, this whole idea, but when an archer pulls the bow back and focuses on the target, when they let go, they surrender. Because a gust of wind can come and all their planning to hit the bullseye will mean nothing. They can attempt to adjust for everything. I guess it would be the same thing as golf. I don't play golf. But when you let go of that bow, there's forces out of your control. There's the wind, there's a bird, an insect, whatever can get in the way. And so what surrender allows you to do is to focus on doing your best or your effort, not on the outcome. And it's in that moment, intention fuels effort. And we can only do our best. And what I want everyone listening, I really want them to just listen to this one part. your best is fluid. You're not 100% all the time. So one day you're going to be 40, one day you're going to be 100. But if your intention is to show up in your life and do your best, that's all you can do. And underlies that is surrender. I joke all the time. I say someone should drink a cup of tea every morning. And that's focusing on your thoughts, your efforts, and your actions. Making sure they're the best that you could put into play that day. And that is surrender. That is being a care hero or the hero of your life. It's the hero's journey.
And I think everything that you're saying really applies, as you said, when you're a care hero, it's like you're on, steroids or whatever.
Yeah.
Everything is intensified.
You're literally,
I know for me, I would get up in the morning before my feet hit the floor. I was asked to make a life or death decision. I mean, it's like you're in the pressure cooker, but
yeah.
Everything you're saying applies to everything that happens in my life. And I have to go back and really back up what you said, that your best is fluid. I mean, sometimes my best was so bad, but it was the best I had to give.
Right.
I wasn't moment. At the 40 mark. I was way below that. Actually, my sisters sent me home sometimes.
But just think of that one thing, right? You said your best was so bad. I bet your intention was 100%.
Yeah. Higher than that. Yeah.
Right? So that's why we have to understand, you know, we're human. I wanted to be a Superman. Oh boy, did I want to be Superman. And I tried as well at the beginning. It's not sustainable. And you're not good to anyone running yourself into the ground. And it's not just, we're not just talking about caregivers, we're talking in life. So, yeah.
Well, and I think especially with caregivers, but again, I'm going to extrapolate that out to everyone, every situation, especially with caregivers, we can get really caught up with the checklist. Did the person have their meds? Did they have this? And, you know, our intention is good, but we got to let go and go back to those moments. I can remember standing, and a lot of my parents' life happened in a 10 by 10 family room during the day with a million people around and, okay, maybe 15 family members and 7 caregivers coming in and out in a week and things like that. But I would just step back sometimes and just watch. And I'd look at the look on my dad's face because he loved the attention. Or, you know, my mom, somebody brought her some cookies for lunch instead of, you know, like, other food, you know? And it's in those moments, and you actually said something else that if you can speak to, I think you said that. Oh, I think you said this, maybe not, but that's okay. Okay. That surrender starts in a moment. It doesn't have to be, oh my gosh, we're going to flip the switch and you let go of everything. It's a process. So for me, standing back and looking in those moments was the first steps of a process of being able to let go of the checklist or to just be.
Yes, just be. You hit it right on the head. Surrender allows you to be. It takes you away from doing. And so the idea of the moment, we can't let go of everything immediately. We can't learn everything immediately. Everything is moments. Everything is accumulation. And so if we're surrendering, we're accumulating the ability to surrender, right? We have to go through that process. The interesting thing in all of that, when we're talking about surrendering in life and the moments and that checklist that we all have, every single person listening probably has a checklist for something. We are built to need to control. It is ingrained in our mind because it's an idea of safety. It's false safety. And that's what's so liberating about surrender. It's letting go of the false safety and living life for what it is. When you surrender, you're more likely to ask for assistance for certain things. Mm-hmm. And you grow because you're not always trying to overcompensate as well. And so it's a philosophy. Like everything in life needs to be a philosophy. Our thoughts, our behaviors have become habitual. We don't know how we built it. It could have been our childhood, whatever the case is. And we live by it. It's the paradigm we live by. But if we want to change how we show up in our life, it's practice and it becomes a philosophy. The philosophers did not say, study this self-help book and you're going to be okay. No, read this self-help book and put it into action. Sure. That's the difference. And it's uncomfortable. Surrender is uncomfortable because we want to control.
So for people listening, how does somebody start to surrender? So let's say they're in whatever situation it is where they want to control it and there's fear and there's all these things. What's their first step?
Oh, that's a great.
That, is it just that taking a breath?
It is just taking a breath, but it's also when you're in a state of control, you've given everything a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step is to look at those priorities and realize what's not a priority. What if it goes wrong is not really going to change anything. That's the beginning of surrender. That's what, when I talked about earlier about the unnecessary and the uncontrollable, that's what I meant about unnecessary. Those things that, you know what, it will have a 0.5% impact on the overall thing. Let it go and see how you feel.
Well, it's interesting you brought the pandemic up because I've been through several times the Care Hero journey, but the pandemic was an interesting opportunity, which we're all in this, of realizing that for years before the pandemic hit, I'd hear this little voice in the back of my head, I'm never going to get off the gerbil wheel. I'm never going to get out of this pattern. I'm never going to get out of this thing that I believe that our culture created and I had to live as part of. And then I was told to sit down on the couch and watch Netflix for a year or whatever it was, you know, and that to me is a great example of surrender. And I watched so many people just in my own community. There were people who refused to surrender.
Sure.
I mean, were absolutely belligerent about it. And I had a little, I belong to a Facebook group with Care Heroes, and somebody had posted asking if anybody got anything out of the pandemic. And I said, yes, I did. And some people came after me on that because they felt that, how could I say that? And then I posted after that and I said, you know, I lost a number of people. I have really close friends and family that are long haulers with COVID. It's not that I just skated through, but I couldn't control that. So all I could do was be in the moment and take advantage of anything good I could take. I could not take, but I could gain. I could watch for that. All I could do was sit back and take a breath because I didn't have a lot of options.
Well, it deviates a little bit, but just to talk about like that feeling that people had during the pandemic, which required surrender, but a lot of people suffered a loss of identity.
Yes.
And they fought against that.
Yes.
And they weren't willing to surrender into letting go of the uncontrollable and understanding what their identity really is, because so many people identified with their job or the community that they used to go to the gym with, or you name it, you know, and that wasn't there anymore. Now you're sitting in your house, you're in front of Netflix, and your identity is violated to a certain extent. You feel your freedom is violated.
Right.
And so that was a moment to see what was under your control and what was not under your control.
But to tie it back, for me, it was a great opportunity to say, what's really important to
me? Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. Kind of like you were saying, you have to first surrender. You've got to kind of look at, okay, there's all this stuff that I, like you said, when you don't surrender, everything is important. There's all this stuff I thought was important in my life.
Yeah.
And then we got sent home and I went, I mean, I used to live in my car. I used to drive everywhere. I've driven my car maybe 5 times this year. I don't miss it. I don't care. You know, just so many things. But I think there's so many correlations that about what you're talking about in regard to your experience with Desiree that applies to everyone, because it really does apply to every aspect of our lives. So for the people who have not yet been, because they probably will be care heroes someday, the way everything is going, you know, this is absolutely applicable and really important in every aspect of their lives.
I believe it 100%. Yeah.
So I know that there is, I think I have a note here that says that from one of our conversations about surrender being a vehicle to live in the moment, and it can lead to resilience. There's another word for you.
Yeah.
Well, so can you talk about resilience and maybe that connection between surrender and resilience?
Sure. Resilience is my word. Resilience is sort of everything that I embody. Let me just tie it together.
Please do.
Sure. Let's go back to that armor, right? When you're wearing the armor, you don't know who you are. You don't know what you're capable of. You identify with the shield. Get rid of all of that, surrender, and step in, knowing what you have, also knowing what your weaknesses are, and go into that arena. That's resilience. You know, we're all born with resilience. I, looking back on my life, I'm very grateful for the way I grew up, and that sounds odd to most people, but it taught me to be resilient at a very young age. Because you mentioned this at the very beginning, our back against the wall. Mm-hmm. When our back is against the wall, or if you think about how many people listening right now, just, I wish you could raise your hand. Have you ever said to yourself, I can't take one more thing? But you're all still here. You're all still here. That's resilience. But we don't know how to access it on demand. And to get to access it on demand, you have to surrender. You have to surrender, because surrender allows you to be authentic. Because look, I'm a big superhero fan. I'm a big Star Wars fan. I'm a big Harry Potter fan. Resilience is the force. Plain and simple, it is the force.
Yes.
And once you know how to access it and harness it and use it, it becomes a philosophy. It becomes, when something bad happens, look, I'm someone that falls. I'm not saying I don't fall. And boy, do I fall hard. I have this thing that I throw myself into the deepest, darkest, muckiest well of sewage, and I'm down there, because the worse I throw myself down, the faster I jump back up. And resilience is about bouncing beyond that. You've just been through something. Why do you want to bounce back?
Thank you. Yes.
You've just been through something. Use it, transform yourself, grow from it. So it's about adapting to change positively, right? And none of that would be possible if you don't surrender to life, because resilience lets you know you can't control anything but the way you react to it. And are you going to let it knock you down, or are you going to get back up and take 2 steps further? I always say the question is, what's next? You got knocked down, you stand up, what's next? Or, you know, I said to myself, you know, people think, oh, okay, this ex-investment banker, yeah, he now lives in Italy. Well, my wife passed away, I had a tremendous amount of debt, like over $100,000. And it wasn't just the medical system, it was a bunch of things. But when I paid off that debt, I picked up my 2 suitcases, I moved to Italy, and I said to myself, what if I can effing pull this off?
Yeah.
That was resilience. And just, I know we're running out of time, so I just wanted to say to the people listening, resilience to me is being addicted to overcoming the challenge to a certain extent. We are addicted to making things the worst they can be in our mind. And it's actually proven, because when it is not that bad, there's a sensation of relief. Dopamine is released in our brain and we feel good.
Right.
But resilience is feeling good, taking the challenge. And
yes,
that's, I think, how you craft your life proactively, consciously.
And what I think it's really important for people listening to hear is the concept of bouncing beyond, not bouncing back, because if nothing else, every person on this planet has been put in that situation in the last year with the pandemic.
For sure.
And I couldn't go back to what life was like a year ago if I wanted to. I don't want to. I can't bounce back. I have no choice but to bounce forward. People can go kicking and fighting, but they're still going to have to go forward, because at least in the United States, there are many, many things well established in our culture that will never, ever be the same. The care paradigm, for one, has been forever changed. And so everything that you're saying, I mean, we've all just been put in the lab to test that. And it really is about bouncing forward. So I thank you. I want people to really hear that. I want to make sure that people know how to find you and reach out to you.
Well, the best way possible would be to go to my website, which is robertpardi.com. And my last name is P-A-R-D as in David, I as in Italy. It's not party as in, you know, years in college. I would love if people took a look at my tiny little podcast, because it's only me talking for 3 to 5 minutes on different ideas. And that's Possibility in Action is the podcast.
And where can they find that?
They could find that. It's listed on Buzzsprouts and a bunch of the others.
Spotify, Stitcher.
Yeah.
And what I love about that is that it aims to broaden perspective and empower yourself in 5 minutes or less.
Yes.
I mean, even I've got 5 minutes. Sometimes I don't think I have much more, but that's what I really like about that. So, Huddle Journey.
Can you tell us
about that?
Okay. Let's talk about the pandemic, right? And having it change your life and making something of it. I love to speak. I love to be in front of people. I love to host retreats. That ended. And an opportunity came up to basically create a 7-day journey on an app. And basically, Huddle Journeys, which is on Google Play or the Apple Store, is basically a life coach in your pocket. There are all these journeys on different topics. I have one on resilience, one on loss. I'm recording one now on joy, because they're all connected, oddly enough, with loss in the middle. And I've done one on leadership, because that's also another world I come from. But for 7 days, you go through theory and practice, Nice. No more than 30 minutes a day. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Again, finite amount of time. That's
great
bang for your buck there. It's awesome. And Chasing Life. I keep saying it's going to be out this summer. Is it still just the summer?
It is. July. Before July 15th, July 15th.
So. First half of the summer, it's coming out. And
yeah, no, it's July 1st,
where people
July
1st
to July 15th, it will be available on Amazon or Kindle.
Okay.
Then I will also be doing an Audible. I want it to be in my voice. So, and it's a lot more than just the story of caregiving and cancer. It's about, I watched a woman evolve. I watched a woman transform in front of my eyes into something that is incredible. It is difficult to even explain. And so it is about that. And it is about understanding you can be joyful regardless of adversity.
Absolutely.
So
I'm so glad you said that. So I highly recommend that you all, I've had the privilege of reading some of Rob's books, and I highly recommend that you keep an eye out for it. I know we have a couple more minutes, but do you want to share the story about the apple on the cover? For the people who are just listening, you haven't seen the cover. The cover is a caramel apple. And I first went, huh. And then I listened to some of Rob's interviews and things, and I went, oh, I get it. Yeah. We have a couple minutes if you can, if you feel like sharing that, you can say pass.
I would love to share. It was a bone of contention with the people helping me publish it, because what does it have to do at all with chasing life? Chasing life is also something that the title is unusual, but the apple really represented my wife more than anything else, in the fact that she allowed herself to be that inner child, even though she was this accomplished doctor and everything else. And it was about so much joy. But basically, I bought her a caramel apple for 24 years. Every year for 24 years. And the first time we were together when we were first dating, I met her, she was 17, I was 19, we were children. And we were in a mall and she saw this caramel apple and she bounced up and down like, this caramel apple, oh, I love this season. And so I bought the caramel apple, and thinking about our journey, it wasn't about losing her. It was about the joy I shared with her. And that's what the apple represents.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to let everybody know that you can hear more about Rob's Care Hero journey on my show, A Cup of Comfort, on Tuesday, June 8th at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern. Join us then and you'll hear more about the his 7 lessons he learned through his Care Hero journey. It too is really, really invaluable. So I want to thank you, Rob. It's been a pleasure to see you in person. Thank you for joining me today.
Same for me.
I know it has changed the way that I think and my understanding of the words armor and surrender and resilience. And I'm sure it has done the same for everyone listening. I'm looking forward to talking to you again on June 8th. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today and sharing this time with me. It's been an honor and a pleasure to fill in for Dr. Pat. I'd really, really like to hear from people out there listening. Reach out to me with questions, comments, topics that you might want to hear on my show. And share your story with me. Go to the Care Hero Radio page of my website, trishlaub.com, and fill out the contact form. I'd really love to hear from you. I love feedback, and I want to know what you think about this show. And while you're there, download the PDFs for the shows and sign up for my newsletter. Please join me on A Cup of Comfort the 2nd and 4th Tuesdays of the month at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern. On my next show on May 11th, I'll be talking with my special guest, Felicity Warner, who is the founder of the Soul Midwives program based in England. And again, I hope you will all join Rob and me on the June 8th show. To those on a journey of providing care, especially those who have found themselves on the journey during the pandemic, remember that you are a real care hero. And to everyone, no matter your circumstances, live life forward and live with possibility and action. And finally, I hope you'll bring your favorite beverage and join me on A Cup of Comfort. Thanks for joining me today.